KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, and it's 57 degrees. We look for skies to be mostly sunny today, a high of 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. In Southwest Iowa news, a jury in Clarinda has returned a verdict of guilty in the first-degree murder trial of 34-year-old Toby Lee McCunn of Red Oak. McCunn killed 33-year-old Joshua Lyle Jordan April 22nd in Shenandoah. According to reports, the jurors deliberated for about 2.5 hours Thursday before announcing their verdict. Over the three-day trial, prosecutors called 15 witnesses to the stand. The DCI special agent testified that McCunn was obsessed over finding Jordan in the weeks leading up to the incident to recover some stolen property. The two men had had previous encounters prior to the fatal shooting. After the verdict was handed down, McCunn was transported to the Page County Jail, where he was being held without bond. He faces a mandatory life sentence without the possibility of parole when McCunn is sentenced on September 17th. Council Bluffs police say a man who was shot to death by a police officer Wednesday morning was involved in two murders before the failed confrontation. Authorities say a Pottawatomie County deputy had tried to stop 28-year-old Troy Peterson of Essex and 44-year-old April Montello Roberts of Shenandoah early Wednesday morning for a traffic violation. They fled while firing shots of the deputy. A few hours later, a Council Bluffs police officer saw them and they fired shots and fled before the pickup they were in rolled over. Police say Peterson took Montel Roberts hostage after the rollover and he was shot as he held a gun to her throat. Council Bluffs Police Chief Tim Carmody said their investigation found that the two had shot and killed 52-year-old Jarrett Clark of Council Bluffs Sunday during a robbery. The investigation also found the two shot and killed 51-year-old Stephen Carlson.
During a short time, the deputies and officers lost sight of Peterson and Montello. They forced entry into Mr. Carlson's residence and shot and killed him.
The chief says he was a victim of the circumstances.
Further investigation revealed that Mr. Carlson died from multiple gunshot wounds. Ultimately, we learned that they entered with the intent to rob the victim and ultimately killed him.
Chief Carmody said some 20 officers had surrounded the two after their pickup crashed. At the time, were only concerned that they had shot at the officers during the chases.
None of the officers or deputies were aware that Mr. Peterson or Montello Roberts were connected to the Clark homicide, nor were they aware Peterson and Montello Roberts were involved in a Carlson homicide.
Police say Montello Roberts drove while Peterson fired at officers during the chases. Montello Roberts was taken to the hospital to be checked out and is now charged with 2 counts of felony murder, 2 counts of attempted murder, and 1 count each of first-degree robbery and first-degree burglary. Red Oak police last night arrested a man for possession of a controlled substance first offense and OWI first offense. 31-year-old James Douglas Lee of Warsaw, Missouri, was taken into custody at around 8:45 p.m. in the 200 block of North Broadway. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $1,000 bond. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reported yesterday that 2 16-year-old white males had absconded from the Clarinda Academy. A perimeter had been set up around a cornfield southwest of the campus. The Clarinda K-9 unit was deployed as well as a Montgomery County EMA drone. Page County EMA's Chris Gribert assisted at the scene as well. And by mid-morning on Thursday, Brothers said authorities had suspended the search. He said also, we've been unable to locate the students. We believe they slipped through the perimeter. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Thursday issued a proclamation extending existing proclamations of disaster emergency for flooding and severe weather events that began in March. The extension allows state resources to be utilized to respond to and recover from the effects of severe weather for an additional days or until September 8th. The proclamation extends the governor's temporary suspension of regulatory provisions pertaining to hours of service for disaster repair crews and drivers delivering goods and services while responding to disaster sites during the duration of the disaster, along with weight limits related to disaster repairs. The proclamation also suspends length of stay and fee requirements at Waubonsie State Park, located in Fremont County. Iowa residents of counties impacted by the recent severe weather were asked to report damage and still are to help local and state officials better understand the damage sustained. Damage to property, roads, utilities, and other storm-related information may be reported. That information will be collected by the Iowa Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management and shared with local emergency management agencies. A second consecutive month of below normal precipitation has about 36% of the state rated as abnormally dry. That's according to the latest water summary update. Tim Hall, the DNR's coordinator of hydrology resources, says it seems surprising that after the wet winter and spring that we would be thinking about drought conditions. But recent dryness has pushed parts of the state in that direction. Hall says so far stream flow and shallow groundwater are at normal levels, but we will continue to monitor those situations. The data shows that 2/3 of Harrison County, all but the southeast corner of Pottawatomie County, the eastern half of Page County, and nearly all of Taylor County. The northern half of Adair and Madison counties and most of Dallas and Guthrie counties, to name a few, are abnormally dry. July averaged 3.35 inches of rainfall around the state, which is 1.15 inches less than normal. June and July together were 2.3 inches below normal for rainfall. Despite the recent dry weather, the previous 12 months were the fourth wettest on record. Iowa temperatures averaged 75.1 degrees or 1.5 degrees above normal, ranking this as the 51st warmest July. The month's high temperature of 99 degrees was reported July 19th in Little Sioux and Harrison County, which was 13 degrees above average for that date. Cresco and Howard County reported the month's low temperature of 48 degrees on July 31st, and that was 11 degrees below average. In our funeral announcements, Wayne Kirchhoff, age 84, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Wayne Kirchhoff will be today at 10 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Rosemary Kallhoff, age 89, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Services for Rosemary Kallhoff will be today at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Roy Dean McCants, age 73, of Anita, died Monday at the Cass County Hospital. Graveside services for Roy McCants will be today at 11 o'clock at the Gaslin Cemetery in Brady, Nebraska. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Tommy Ray Montagna, age 60, of Dexter, died August 2nd. A gathering of family and friends for Tommy Montagna will be held at his home in Dexter at 505 Marshall Street, beginning at 6 o'clock this evening. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. Courtney Ann Shipman Jensen, age 39, of Adel, died Wednesday at Unity Point Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Courtney Jensen will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church of Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home Stewart Chapel has the arrangements. Nancy Kessler, age 66, of Audubon, died July 30th. Funeral services for Nancy Kessler will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon, with Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Louise Jean Merkel, age 86, of Oakland, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Louise Merkel will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Casey Emerson, age 18, of Fontenelle and Greenfield, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Casey Emerson will be on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Nottoway Valley High School in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Elizabeth Sue Bradall, age 82, of Skidmore, Missouri, died Wednesday. Services for Sue Bradall will be Monday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Maryville, Missouri. The Price Funeral Home in Maryville has the arrangements. Roland Peterson, age 59, of Kimbleton, died Saturday. A celebration of life for Roland Peterson will be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the West Side Church in Fremont, Nebraska. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. And Tris Albright, age 59, of Audubon, died Tuesday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. A celebration of life for family and friends of Tris Albright will be on Sunday from August 25th, that is, from 1 until 4 p.m. at the Bluegrass Inn and Suites in Audubon. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen.